Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim and you get emotion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window.
Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved, home protected, bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
Quality sleep isn't just about how long, but how well you sleep. And science proves temperature plays a massive role. ChiliPad by SleepMe is a precision temperature-controlled sleep system that cools or warms your bed so you can sleep hard and recover harder. And it's not just for pro athletes. Just set your temp from 55 to 115 degrees, and ChiliPad does the rest. Visit sleep.me and use code SLEEPCOOL20 for 20% off your first ChiliPad. That's SLEEP.me for 20% off your ChiliPad. This special offer expires September 30th and cannot be combined with other offers.
At your service, it's the Garden Hotline, sponsored by Chesterfield Valley Nursery, a celebration of his beauty on 104.1 FM, KMOX.
Good morning. It's the Garden Hotline. It's Saturday. It's 8 o'clock. What else would you guys be doing out there? My name is Michelle Reeser-West. I'm your host for today. I'm the director of horticulture at Pointer Landscape, and I'll be here for the next couple hours answering any of your garden-related questions. The phone number to call, 314-436-7900. Whatever might be burning on your mind today about your garden, give us a call, and we'll see if we can't help you out. I got a special guest with me in the studio today. We have Jerry Pence. He is the program coordinator for the horticulture program at St. Louis Community College on the Merrimack campus. He's been the coordinator since 2013, and the enrollment in the program has grown 27% since then. The program has recently benefited from the STLCC Transformed Project that has taken place on all of the St. Louis Community College campuses. Jerry, thanks for coming.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
For those of you out there, Jerry actually was my my instructor back in the day. He taught landscape design when I was back in the program. And you got a lot more going on out there than landscape design. How's it going out there on campus?
It's going spectacular. We are just growing tremendously, if you will. And things are happening. The new STLCC Transform Project has benefited us tremendously.
Yeah, I was able to come out there right before the start of the semester, and that it's amazing out there. Everything is gorgeous. All those new buildings and new facilities and all the new gadgets you guys get to play with there in the horticulture department. Can you tell us a little bit about that? The building and all of the new stuff you guys got going out there?
Yeah, we have about a $7.5 million addition to our program. So we're part of the new building. We've got new laboratories for the students. We've got new greenhouses, one of which is a blackout greenhouse, which allows us to really control the amount of light that plants get for things that need specific light requirements. We have a new indoor growth chamber, which is a tremendous asset, will help students. It actually directly mirrors what they would be walking into when they go to someplace like Danforth Plant Science Center, Bayer, Benson Hill, any cannabis operation. this indoor growth chamber allows them to have the experience before they get out into the workforce of what it's like to be in one of those chambers. So that's really tremendous. We also have the addition of a green roof on top of our building, which will allow students to, you know, get that experience as well, as that is a growing part of our industry. And then the new landscape on the campus is going to really transform as well. And so we'll have new bioswales and rain gardens, an extended seeded native landscape. And so those are all opportunities for our students to jump into and get some experience before they get out into the field.
Yeah, it's really quite a difference. Walking in, you know, coming from 15 years ago or so when I was on campus, it's quite a different. It's really state of the art. That's I think one of the biggest things, the biggest difference when you walk in. The new facilities really feel like you guys are on the cutting edge of things. Yeah. It's impressive, and I'm really excited to see what comes of that and what a great student experience. I'm kind of jealous, even though I am back on campus this semester taking an irrigation class, so I do get to be a part of it. But I am a little bit jealous that, change came too late for me. But what a cool thing to see that the place that I got my horticulture degree is doing so well and is getting to have so many change. And you're affecting our industry in so many ways. It's really amazing to see. Like I mentioned, I'm in an irrigation class this semester, which has been really fun for me. One of the things I didn't get to do back in the day. And one of the things that was just interesting to me to keep learning and keep expanding my knowledge. What are some of the other classes you guys got going out there?
So we've got our students get to choose from what we call core courses. There are 8 core courses that everybody has to take. And those are things like plant identification courses, soils course, integrated pest management, things like that. But then we have a lot of electives that students can choose from, anything from greenhouse management to plant propagation, landscape irrigation, turf management. We've got courses in the cannabis and hemp production that relate to that certificate of specialization. And so students are able to get either an associate's of applied science degree or a certificate of proficiency.
That's really great. And, you could be like me. I'm only out there taking one class. You don't necessarily have to be fully enrolled and going as a full-time student to take a class out there. Am I right?
That's correct. And you don't, we've changed the prerequisites that you used to need to have. And so a lot of classes, there are a lot of co-requisites. So you can take things side by side without having to wait to take certain things. But, yeah, we welcome anybody who wants to come in. Just check us out and see what we're about. Take a class.
Where can people find out more information?
So you can go to stlcc.edu, and if you look up courses, just search for horticulture, and you'll get all the information, all the courses there with all the course descriptions and the learning objectives and everything that we offer.
Are you teaching any classes this semester? Or are you solely just you're just the boss man, or you're out there teaching?
You know, I wish I could be just the boss.
What are you teaching?
So this semester I'm teaching trees and vines identification course, along with the shrubs and evergreens identification course. I'm teaching integrated pest management.
Nice, that's a fun one.
And I'm also teaching the landscape design class. And then the landscape management class.
Oh, that's a pretty big load.
It's a big load. I had to take one on at the last minute. So, but
well, those ID classes were really interesting to me. Also, one that I think a lot of people that maybe just want to take a class or two could be interested in taking. But it was really daunting. My first semester there, I just had taken. I think it was just intro to horticulture or something like that. And then the second semester, I dove into taking an ID class and maybe soils or something like that. And, to go from somebody that was like knowing what roses are and maybe a tulip to trying to learn scientific names and remembering, I think you guys were really mean and made us like learn how to spell them correctly and everything. Maybe we got a couple points taken off for incorrect spelling after a few, but it was a little rough. It's like a whole different language.
Well, it is a new language. You're learning Latin because that is the language of our profession. And so it's a challenge, but you guys all pull through.
And it's really good knowledge. It's like one of those things that I, do now to confuse people or just to impress them by saying the botanical name or the Latin name of those plants. And You know, it's really a great thing to be around other people that are interested in learning and wanting to, you know, get to do the same thing together and kind of, you know, share that experience with other plant people. There's really nothing else like it. I really still to this day, after all the years, is one of my, you know, the thing that I tell even new students when I'm around them, like, get connected with your fellow students. They're going to be the people that you rely on. And a lot of my colleagues or a lot of my the people that I still go to in the industry are people that I went to school with, that I shared a classroom with and shared those experiences with. So it really is like nothing else.
Yeah, you know, that's a really great point that you make. It's really beautiful how our students are in this program because this is where they want to be.
Exactly.
And it's like, so they want to take these courses. In fact, most students take way more electives than they need to just because they want that expanded, you know, background and knowledge. So, yeah. And we have a really great connection with the green industry. And
For sure.
The more students we get out in the industry, the bigger that web becomes.
Yeah. And it's really great. Like when I was a student there, you know, like I took a class and then I started working in the field, and then I got to take the stuff that I was learning every day at school to my job. And then I got to take the stuff I was learning at my job back into the classroom. And that connection really makes that learning process a lot easier. So you guys do a great job of being a part of the industry here in St. Louis and even, you know, beyond that. So thank you for everything you guys are doing.
Thank you.
Again, you guys can call and ask Jerry and I all of your questions. We got a little bit of plant knowledge between the two of us. 314-436-7900. You're listening to KMOX 104.1, The Voice of St. Louis. And we're back with the Garden Hotline. My name is Michelle Reeser-West, Director of Horticulture for Pointer Landscape, and your host today. I am joined by Jerry Pence from the horticulture program at St. Louis Community College. He is the program coordinator there, and he's here to answer any of your garden-related questions. You can call and talk about classes or things that are going on campus if you're interested in that, but he's also a horticulturist and can answer a lot of your questions in that regard. Any design questions or plant choices, we're here to answer. 314-436-7900. We also have a big event coming up for you guys at the college for the horticulture department. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely. We have an event on October 10th and 11th. October 10th, which is a Friday from 4 to 7:30, I believe. We have an open house, which is just an invitation to the green industry and the general public as well to come and see our new facilities, kind of see what we're about. There is a registration for that online. Again, if you go to stlcc.edu and search for Horticulture Symposium, you can find that. And they register for that, you just sign up. They're just trying to capture your email, essentially, so that we can send you our newsletter that we send out once a couple times a year and that sort of stuff. And then the next day, on October 11th, we have two guest speakers coming in for a little what we're calling the Horticulture Exchange, and it's a little symposium. Our first speaker is Doug Tallamy, which a lot of people probably who listen to this program know who Doug Tallamy is, but he's behind the big movement of adding more native plants to your landscape so that we can secure and maintain our native insect population, pollinator population. And they need our native plants to be able to do that. And he's got a couple books out on that, Bringing Nature Home, Nature's Best Hope. So there's a few things. And he's going to be there to talk in the morning. That starts at 8 o'clock. And there is a registration for that as well. That's $45 for that. And then there's a small kind of a continental breakfast type thing that comes along with that. And then after Doug is finished, there's a young man from Chicago area named Austin Eichid, who is a landscape designer, and he will have a little bit different approach to things, and he'll talk about new methods of landscape design and combining plants and different ways to, you know, handle different kinds of situations that you get involved in when you're in landscape.
Yeah, and he's kind of, his design aesthetic is super interesting and not Not like the typical designs that you see, you know, typically in our residential areas or even, you know, our commercial properties. It's a really kind of cool design aesthetic. So I am actually excited to listen to him. I follow them both on social medias and, of course, have read Doug's books, as I'm sure a lot of people out there have. But yeah, what a great opportunity for people to come on Friday and see those new facilities, talk to instructors, and then what a get. I mean, those are two big names to have come and talk on campus. So are you expecting a big turnout with the students? That's a great opportunity for them as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we are. We're really excited, especially for Saturday. Students get the opportunity to come and see those two speakers. And for students, it doesn't cost them anything. And that's the whole goal, is to educate them and keep them abreast of what some of the latest trends are in the industry.
That's amazing. Guys, we still would love to hear from you. We'll keep talking about the program up at Merrimack. But if you have a call in between 314-436-7900, I was there last week, and there, you know, if you drive down Big Bend, there's the big fencing up, and you can't really see what's going on in there. There's a lot of big bags, a lot of open soil, still a lot of construction and stuff, it seems like, going on out there. What's the plan for that big, huge area in front? I know you were talking about some bioswales, but what are we going to see when that fence comes down?
Yeah, so the big bags that you saw, those were rooftop garden mix, and so those are all gone. The rooftop garden soil is in. And imagine they'll be putting the plants in any day now. That was they had to wait on a few materials to get that finished. So that's ready to go. That's really awesome. And then along that whole south side of campus, all along Big Bend there, really from about the greenhouses all the way to Geyer Road, is going to become a seeded native landscape. So that will take place. They're still doing some of the final grading. And they're still putting in some of the bioswales and the rain gardens and so forth. But that will all be a seeded landscape. It'll have a turf pathway through it, so anybody can come and walk through it. And they're going to be seeding that sometime in December. And we're actually going to have probably early November, we're going to have a little bit of a community type event to just kind of educate people on what exactly is going to be happening and what to expect, because this is something new for this part of town. And so we want people to understand that, you know, these things don't develop overnight. And so what's that process sort of look like? How long is it going to take? What can they expect to see? And those sort of things. But that's a really huge thing for our program, because this allows our students to actually be a part of the whole process, which is something that we really try to strive for in our program, is that hands-on portion. You know, we figure that people are getting into horticulture because they don't want to sit behind a desk. So we try to keep them from being behind a desk as much as possible, get them out into, we manage a 10-acre garden classroom. So we try to get them out into that as much as possible, get them into the labs, get them into the greenhouses, whatever we can do to get that hands-on experience.
And, you know, I always enjoyed, you know, that hands-on thing. Is one of the reasons why I got into horticulture, is that, you know, I like to do things and touch things and move my body. And one of the great things about, you know, being a student there, or even being a member of the community around it, is how much you can get out and enjoy that campus. And the idea of that seeded prairie, and, you know, it does take time, but I was in one of the classrooms, and some of these new classrooms have just floor-to-ceiling glass windows. And to imagine being a student and to look out and have just an expansive, beautiful landscape to not only look at during class, but to be able to go out and, you know, touch and feel and connect with your spaces is really cool. Robin is on the line. Looks like we finally got our first caller. Robin, go ahead with your question. Are you there, Robin? We're going to take 1 second to get Robin back. But so talking about that classroom is amazing. And I'm looking forward to seeing how that grows. I think we're going to try again with Robin. Robin, you're on the air.
Good morning, dear.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get emotion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
Quality sleep isn't just about how long, but how well you sleep. And science proves temperature plays a massive role. ChiliPad by SleepMe is a precision temperature-controlled sleep system that cools or warms your bed so you can sleep hard and recover harder. And it's not just for pro athletes. Just set your temp from 55 to 115 degrees, and ChiliPad does the rest. Visit sleep.me and use code SLEEPCOOL20 for 20% off your first ChiliPad. That's SLEEP.ME for 20% off your ChiliPad. This special offer expires September 30th and cannot be combined with other offers.
Make every day a Disney Plus and Hulu day and get everything you love in one plan. Start your day with Monday Mayhem and watch episodes of Bob's Burgers. How about a Touchdown Tuesday with the hilarious new comedy Chad Powers? Or a Whodunit Wednesday with high potential and everyone's favorite amateur sleuths in the hit series Only Murders in the Building? Maybe you're in the mood for a thrilling Thursday. Grab some popcorn and stream huge blockbusters like Marvel Studios' Thunderbolts on Disney Plus, or get caught up with the most enthralling news on what you need to know. Gather the fam for a Flashback Friday and binge all episodes of Modern Family or Grey's Anatomy. So, discover something every day on Disney Plus and Hulu. It's the movies and shows you love every day. 18 and up only. Offer valid for eligible subscribers only. Terms apply.
Hear me now?
I do. You're there. Go ahead with your question.
Excellent. So I'm having a really big streak of bad luck in my yard with trees this year. I lost an arborvitae in my far back. It just went yellow on me, and that was that. And now I've got another big arborvitae, green giant arborvitae, that is going, it's happening really fast. It's gone yellow on me, too. I have an arborist coming out. I doubt seriously we're going to be able to keep it alive. But that being said, what is a good, I try to do as much native as I can, and the arborvitaes were before I was doing the whole native thing. If I'm trying to do, I don't think there's any evergreens besides the short needle, is there, or what would you suggest I put back in my yard to replace the arborvitae?
It's a really great question. You know, arborvitae, I have a love-hate relationship with them, and they are kind of prone to dying from time to time, and we see that a lot. I actually think that we were talking about this back in design class, and talking about kind of alternatives to arborvitaes, which are maybe not overused, but they're used a lot. Jerry, what do you think about some alternatives?
Well, from a native perspective, you know, we have the native junipers.
Yep.
And the Junipera virginiana, which is the eastern red cedar. And there are a lot of different cultivars of that. So, you know, you can find some that have a little bit different color foliage, some that are more narrow than others, like the Taylor juniper. That would be a good alternative. I think probably what you're experiencing with your arborvitae is probably a lot of drought situations between last summer and this summer. When your plant becomes stressed out like that, when it's not used to that kind of weather, then that opens the door for a lot of other things to move in. And so when we had these heavy drought periods with these arborvitae, if you're not able to keep them consistently moist, you're going to have borers and different things move in because the tree is stressed out, and the insects can sense that, and so they will attack at that point, and then it's a pretty quick death, actually. So, but the native junipers, there are a few native pines that you can use as well. And, you know, mix it up a little bit. Don't worry about all one thing. You know, you can have some native, some non-native, and but just pick things that are a little bit more hardy to the Midwest as opposed to the West or the Northwest.
And, you know, Jerry brings up a good point about, you know, this, the watering and the drought. And, you know, a lot of times we, you know, when we see a plant die right now, we look at right now and what's happening right now. And we were just in a little bit of a drought, but looking at that weather long term and thinking about what we had over the last couple of years. And, you know, last year we had a mix of drought. We actually had a lot of times with excessive rain. But you even think about, you know, the winter months after everybody's turned off their irrigation and stopped thinking about watering. Last fall, we were in a drought going into winter. And then in February, when we still didn't have water irrigation, we had the like second warmest February on record, and it was also very dry. So some of that damage happened when we weren't even paying attention. So we can be seeing a lot of those effects now. And arborvitae is one of them where you don't even realize it. It looks fine one day and you walk outside and it's dead. So it can happen really quickly.
I feel better that I'm not just totally unobservant. And with the classes at Merrimack, I've taken some adult education classes there before. Are you offering adult education classes as far as planting or things that would help a homeowner do a better job than I'm doing?
There are adult education courses that cover that. Okay. We aren't associated with that part of the college, so that's a separate thing. But okay. Yeah, they do have courses that relate to those things.
Okay, great. Well, thank you. I appreciate y'all's time.
All right, thank you.
Thanks, Robin. And again, like I am taking this class, it's, you know, once a week. You know, the irrigation class might not be something for the homeowner, but, you know, some of these identification classes and things like that, it is, you know, a few hours every week. So it could be something that that really anybody can come and enjoy. So we got to take a quick break. We do have a caller on the line, so we'll get to that when we come back. This is KMOX 104.1, the voice of St. Louis. To the Garden Hotline, my name is Michelle Reeser-West, Director of Horticulture for Pointer Landscape, and I am here with Jerry Pence, the Program Coordinator for the Horticulture Program at St. Louis Community College. We are here to answer all of your gardening questions, 314-436-7900. And we're going to go straight to the phones. We've had Chris on the line waiting for a few minutes. Chris, you're on the Garden Hotline. Go ahead with your question.
Hey, good morning. Actually, you guys kind of triggered a thought in my mind with the term bioswales. I have a rock road that runs down through my property, and there's a path that kind of washed out, and what I was starting to do was dig down and put in a pipe underneath and all that. But I got to thinking the other day, I might be as well off maybe to put in, I didn't know what to call it, a ditch or a little swale above it to capture the water, run it to a point, and then put a pipe under the ground or under the road to take it to the other side and down the hill. And what I've been kind of trying to figure out is when I'm going to take a backhoe and dig that out a little bit, and then what do I put in there to keep it from becoming a washout and just keep washing, you know, getting worse and worse and worse. So I'd appreciate some help with that.
Yeah, sure, Chris. Well, you know, using some native plants in that swale that like those conditions where they get, you know, short periods of maybe even standing water in them, but they can accommodate a lot of water, but then they can also accommodate dry conditions is kind of the way to go there. And those plants are going to develop really extensive root systems that are going to help with erosion. And they're also going to clean and filter that water as it works down through the soil so that less water is getting to your pipes and more water is being taken up and cleaned by the plants themselves. And that's kind of the direction I would go is get with somebody like Michelle and develop a plan and so that you can get the right plants in there. And it could either be seeded or you could put plugs in or however you want to manage it. That all depends on what your budget is. But that's the way, you know, that's kind of the idea of the bioswale is to just capture that water, clean it up so that by the time that water gets to the aquifer, it's a much cleaner product. Plants are amazing at doing that.
Yeah, and it's, you know, going to help even with drainage and things like that because, you know, like Jerry was saying, some of these plants that we're putting, the native plants, have these really long tap roots that kind of work themselves through the soil. But I'm excited to you know, talk about this and to have more people doing it, trying to, you know, keep water on their property and use it and clean it is, you know, really beneficial for you as a homeowner or landowner and, you know, for our environment. So, yeah, I hope that's something that you look into.
I had a kind of a follow-up question.
Sure, go ahead.
A while ago, I had the Missouri Conservation Department come out and look at my property. I've got, you know, quite a bit of property there that I live on. And we were talking about converting. I've left a lot of it grow up because I was able to get monarchs and other butterflies to come in and take homes there. And what I'm wondering is, it seemed like they have some programs that assist with the cost of the seed and whatever of converting an area to a natural environment. Is that still going on, do you know, or is that something that's kind of gone by the wayside?
Yeah, they still have those programs, those cost share programs that they do, and that's a great opportunity for you, Chris, to look into that. I would follow up on that if I was you, because that's a great thing to do with your property.
Okay, well, I could probably work that. My new bioswale into this old deer.
There you go. Yeah, they can help
you
with
all
that as well.
Help.
Yeah, sure.
Thanks so much. Jim, you are up next. Jim, go ahead with your question.
If you recall or not, but last week I called about what the test day on a bag of grass seed means.
Yep.
So I called Site One Landscaping Supply. And it's he says that date that's on there is like a germination time, like you said.
Yep.
For they test it on that month to make sure it germinates and comes up.
Hey, look, so my guess was kind of right.
Yes, it was.
I'm glad that you called and did a little question asking and then called us back to let us know.
Hey, thank you guys for your service. And I hope Mike's doing well. He's
thank
a good
you.
Friend.
Yeah, great.
Take care.
Thanks so much for the call. We're going to go to our next caller. Linda, you are on the air. Go ahead with your question.
Hi. First, I wanted to know what the date is and the time of the Merrimack, when you can go and see the Merrimack progress over there at the school, community college, and also... I missed the first part of that conversation. I just got with the Doug Ptolemy the second day. So wasn't it Friday night you could go?
Yeah.
Gardeners could go.
Yeah, it's Friday night, October 10th, 4:30,
okay.
4 or 4:30. I can't remember exactly the start time. I think it's 4 o'clock and it'll go to about 7 or so. And it's kind of there'll be some self-guided tours. We'll have some stuff there for you to some maps and things for you to follow. And then we'll be around. We'll have different people from our faculty and staff around to answer questions, any questions you might have. And this is pretty much strictly just of our area. A lot of the other buildings will be closed at that time, but you'll be able to for sure see our space.
Oh, that sounds wonderful. And then the second question is, I have a rose bush that was just put in this year in May. and I need to move it. So I had called in and talked to some other gentlemen there, but I wanted to get like a second opinion. They said to cut it back a bit and then, you know, go ahead and move it now. But I had actually waited because of this weather going up and down with the temperature. So after the weather goes back down, and then I'm going to wait, like, or, should I do it now before this weather heats up again to get the roots established, or should I wait a little bit?
So,
like, just say the end of the week.
Yeah, so you can do it now for sure. If you're going to move roses in the fall, I would do it sooner than later. I'm not a huge fan of moving roses in the fall. You can do it. It can be a little risky. Roses can have a little bit of issue getting through our winters. They have a lot of winter damage. So if they don't really get time to root in well, they can struggle getting through the winter, especially if we have a hard winter. I'm not saying don't do it. Just know that there are, you know, a few risks associated with it. I think if you do it soon in the next, you know, week or so, we still have some decent temperatures. We still have some time. But if it were me, I would probably wait until spring just to give it a little bit of a better chance to get through.
Oh, you think that would be a better idea? So spring, like at what time? May or April?
Oh, April. Like when things start thawing out, you know, you can watch the buds of those of roses. When those roses start to kind of plump up, the little buds are starting to get active. That's a great time to do it before it leaves out.
Yeah, because the other thing was, you know, I always leave my rose hips on for the plant to kind of shut down. Yeah. Winter, but they were saying cut it back and then I wouldn't be able to have any.
Yeah, I don't like messing with my roses too much in the fall. You could take a little bit off, maybe shape it so it's not crazy, but you do have those rose hips. You know, it can get a little bit of winter damage. So I just like to wait until spring to do much. A lot of people even will put, you know, mulch around the base and up the bottom just to kind of help it through the winter. You know, yeah. Some roses will have a lot of winter issues on top, but then their roots stay nice and hardy and you have less of a problem. But for me, I just, you know, again, I am sometimes a risky gardener. I will plant things that are on the edge of zones or things like that, but I'm not always big on messing with things like that in the fall.
Okay, so yeah, it isn't essential that I move it.
Yeah.
It's just I establish like a new, bigger garden. So, okay, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you for your call. We'll take another call right before our break. We just got Bill calling in. Bill, go ahead with your question.
I planted a mandevilla vine this summer, and, you know, it's doing well and everything. I don't want to dig it up, but I'm wondering, can I help it to survive the winter by mulching it up like you do a rose bush, or is that not going to work?
Well, I hate to break it to you, Bill, but that's not going to work.
She gonna die.
Yeah, we get way too cold for those. We're not there yet. The climate hasn't changed that much in Missouri. That's like a zone 11 or so plant, and we're not there. So yeah, to save that at all, you would have to bring it inside.
They have to dig it up, put it in a pot.
Yeah,
for sure.
Okay. Okay.
Get out your shovel. You got to bring it in. Sorry.
Yeah. All right. Thanks.
Thanks so much. Okay, guys, we are having a good time answering your questions. If you have a question, give us a call, 314-436-7900. We're going to take a quick break. You're listening to 104.1 KMOX, the voice of St. Louis. And we're back with the Garden Hotline. My name is Michelle Reeser-West, and I am here today with Jerry Pence, who is the program coordinator for the horticulture program at St. Louis Community College on the Merrimack campus. We're really happy to have Jerry here with us today, and we are here to answer all of your gardening questions. Jerry's here to also talk about the horticulture program up at Merrimack and a really great event that they have coming up. If you guys have a question for us, give us a call, 314-436-7900. We're going to go straight back to the phone lines. We've got Jan on the line. Jan, go ahead with your question.
Michelle and Jerry, thanks so much for being with us this morning. We are 10-year listeners, my wife and I. We live in Clayton, and recently, as you know, the tornado went through and in our neighborhood destroyed lots and lots of trees. The one silver lining on that, interestingly, is that our front yard, in which we could barely grow grass before, and was kind of a combination of weeds and violets and creeping Charlie and all sorts of stuff like that, that the sun now, we now have, it's a totally sun-drenched front yard. And we went away on vacation, and what happened is, as we came back, the front yard now is 100% crabgrass. 100% crabgrass. So we want to have a beautiful front yard, which we now have the possibility of having. Where do we begin?
The crabgrass. It's yeah, so it sounds like you've had like a huge change in the conditions of your front yard. If you had some trees that came down, you know, and now that you have all this sun, you know, and this year we've had a tremendous amount of weed and disease in our turf just based on, you know, we had a lot of rain early in the season, and then we went into kind of a drought situation. So we've just had a really a great year with turf having some issues. So are you trying to get your just your turf back into shape? Are you trying to, you know, get rid of some of the turf and plant some garden beds, or what's the goal?
Gotcha. Good. I have a couple of garden beds around the turf, which interestingly enough now will become sun gardens as opposed to shade gardens. But yeah, I think we'd like to get the turf looking good for the neighborhood and for ourselves and not be full of weeds. So it's just, it is now literally 100% crabgrass. The crabgrass has knocked out all that creeping Charlie, all those violets and everything else. So do I just nuke it and start over?
I like this. It was just nuke it. Yeah. So, I mean, crabgrass is an annual weed. So it grows back every year from seed. So I would think that you would need to just get on, if you're looking to have your lawn, you know, weed free and all that good stuff, you're going to have to get on a regular program of, you know, doing the typical fertilization, pre-emergent, you know, spot weeding or spot spraying. You know, it's just, it might take, you know, several years to get that back into shape. But I think if you're full of crabgrass, then you're definitely going to want to get a crabgrass preventer down. Jared, okay. Do you have a lot of knowledge with turf grass?
No, turf is not my specialty, but I do know that you are in the right time to do this. Are you planning on seeding or sodding?
I think we'll seed.
Okay, so you are, you know, you're in a good time, except that you're getting close to the end of that window being open, just because the days are getting shorter and so the germination time for your turf. So you're going to have to, nuke it, as you say. You're going to have to kind of start from scratch probably, and you know, that's a 10 to 14 day process there. A lot of times, a lot of turf renovators will suggest that you maybe do that, you know, spray it once, let anything that's any seeds that are still there that could possibly germinate come up and then hit them. And so you're kind of extending that time out. I would call somebody like G.R. Robinson Seed or somebody like that and get yourself on a program. Let them kind of help you, you know, get established.
Yeah, we have Glenn Kramer that's on here all the time, and he does. It is Jerry's great point. G.R. Robinson Seed would be a great place to start, and they can help you out with any of those kind of products and things like that, or calling a lawn care company that they can come out and regularly do the applications and put them down at the correct rate. But definitely something that might need a professional to either come out and look or to help you with that program.
My wife will be thrilled to hear this.
So, Yeah, sorry to cut you off. We're kind of needing to take a break here. Hope that works out for you. This is KMOX 104.1, the voice of St. Louis. We'll be back.
At your service, it's the Garden Hotline, sponsored by Chesterfield Valley Nursery, a celebration of his beauty on 104.1 FM, KMOX.
And we're back to the second hour of the Garden Hotline. My name is Michelle Reeser-West. I am the Director of Horticulture for Pointer Landscape, and I am joined today by Jerry Pence. Jerry is the Program Coordinator for the Horticulture Program at St. Louis Community College on the Merrimack campus. He's been the coordinator since 2013, and enrollment in the program has grown 27% since then. The program has recently benefited from the STLCC Transformed Project that has taken place on all of the STLCC campuses. He's here with us today to answer your garden questions, to talk about the horticulture program, and to, just be here and hang out with us for the next hour. 314-436-7900 is the number to call if you have a question. We're going to go straight back to the phone lines because we've had Jim waiting for a long time. Jim, thanks for your patience. Go ahead with your question.
Hi. A couple weeks ago, planted a couple container-grown ginkgo trees in my yard. Should I fertilize those at any point, you know, before the winter, or should I just leave them alone?
Really, to me, it just depends on, you know, is there fertilizer that came in that growing pot? A lot of growers will put that slow release fertilizer in there. Also, to me, would depend on what your soil is like. If you planted it into, an area that has decent soil quality, you probably aren't going to need much going into the fall for those new trees. Jared, do you have the same opinion? Or
yeah, Jim, what's your soil? What are your soil conditions?
Well, I live in Illinois. It's basically clay, but, you know, maybe the top 6-8 inches is pretty decent. But, of course, you know, you need to dig down further than that.
Yeah, so usually over there in Illinois, you guys have pretty nice soil. So I wouldn't be too concerned. I think you're probably okay. Ginkgos are very adaptable. And, I think you're probably in pretty good shape.
Okay. And lastly, I just want to say, Michelle, you're the best thing that's happened to the Garden Hotline in a long time. So I hope you stay with it.
Thank you. That's really sweet of you. I appreciate that comment. And you might be stuck with me. So I'm glad that you're enjoying listening. So thank you so much, Jim. All right. Next caller is going to be Sandy. Sandy, you're on the air with us. Go ahead with your question.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. I have two questions, actually. They're grass questions. One is, in preparation for my aeration and overseeding this year, and because we had such a tough summer, even though I watered regularly, there were a number of dead areas in my yard, and I went out with my garden rake, and I deep raked those areas, get the thatch out and the dead grass, et cetera. And I noticed in several areas around my yard that the grass actually rolled back or peeled back, not in large sections, but in areas where I was deep raking. And the man who does my fertilizing also does grub treatment, and I went back to my records, and the grub treatment was done in July. And my first question is, should I be concerned about these small areas? Is it grubs? I didn't see anything crawling around in the dirt, but I was too busy with my piles of dead grass and thatch to even look for that at the time. But in retrospect, I was thinking, you know, maybe there's a problem. It has since been aerated and overseeded, and I want to know, is there something more that I should do about this?
How's the aeration and overseeding going? Is it Is it coming
in? It just happened the other day.
Oh, okay. So there's so many things happening right now with turf as far as, you know, there's fungus issues. When we go through all that rain that we had early in the year and then we jump right into long, hot, humid summer nights, all of those kinds of things play a role in the health of your turf as well as the grub worms themselves. So, again, I pretty much defer most of my turf things to Glenn and Ben Kramer over at G.R. Robinson because they experience these things on a daily basis and they can come out and take a look at your turf and give you a really accurate answer. It's hard to know sitting here, not standing there with you, you know, seeing your turf.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, my second question is this. I have two areas in my backyard that the man who does my lawn service for me, fertilization, et cetera, said something. He called it wild bluegrass, and he did this years ago and asked me if I wanted him to do something about it, and they seemed to be very small patches, and I said, no, don't worry about it. Well, they have spread, and because I am basically rejuvenating my yard this year on a major scale, I decided to get rid of these areas of this quote-unquote wild bluegrass. And so I cut it really, really low. I sprayed it with Roundup. And then the guy that does my aeration came a few days earlier than I expected him. And he went ahead and aerated and overseeded, and I put cotton burr compost over those areas after he was finished and reseeded on top of the compost. Do you think I'm going to have any luck considering the Roundup went down and he aerated before I expected him to be here, et cetera, et cetera? Will the compost be an adequate layer between the soil and the seed? He seeded and I overseeded on top of the compost.
I think you're going to be just fine. Most of the time with a herbicide like Roundup, it is only effective when you spray it directly onto the leaves of the plant. So if that's gone, you put some compost over the top and reseeded. I think you're going to be just fine.
Okay, that's good news. Thank you so much.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for the call. Up next, we have Barbara. Barbara, go ahead with your question.
Yes, I have a question. Last week, I was walking through my backyard. I live in Ferguson, and the backyard is typically fine. I have a man that comes in, cuts the grass, but I was walking the back, and I noticed little holes in the backyard, and I wasn't sure if they were mouse holes or just what they were. Come to find out, the one hole, it was yellow jackets, okay? And I thought, well, of course I Googled and said, well, because I don't believe really much in chemicals too much, but they said warm soapy water and pour it in the hole. This one nest is very aggressive. I was stung one time, and that darn yellow jacket came after me again, and the stinger was in my thumb, and it seems like the nest is still there after 1 week. What can I do to get rid of these things?
That sounds awful. I'm sorry that you're having such a problem with those guys, but I think they can be, you know, no fun to get rid of. They are, you know, very aggressive when you go out there.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. P&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim and you get emotion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved, home protected, bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
Quality sleep isn't just about how long, but how well you sleep. And science proves temperature plays a massive role. ChiliPad by SleepMe is a precision temperature-controlled sleep system that cools or warms your bed so you can sleep hard and recover harder. And it's not just for pro athletes. Just set your temp from 55 to 115 degrees, and ChiliPad does the rest. Visit sleep.me and use code SLEEPCOOL20 for 20% off your first ChiliPad. That's SLEEP.ME for 20% off your ChiliPad. This special offer expires September 30th and cannot be combined with other offers.
Make every day a Disney Plus and Hulu day and get everything you love in one plan. Start your day with Monday Mayhem and watch episodes of Bob's Burgers. How about a Touchdown Tuesday with the hilarious new comedy Chad Powers? Or a Whodunit Wednesday with high potential and everyone's favorite amateur sleuths in the hit series Only Murders in the Building? Maybe you're in the mood for a thrilling Thursday. Grab some popcorn and stream huge blockbusters like Marvel Studios' Thunderbolts on Disney Plus, or get caught up with the most enthralling news on what you need to know. Gather the fam for a Flashback Friday and binge all episodes of Modern Family or Grey's Anatomy. So, discover something every day on Disney Plus and Hulu. It's the movies and shows you love, every day. 18 and up only, offer valid for eligible subscribers only, terms apply.
You know, I do think a lot of times people will just go straight to getting an insecticide and shooting it down in there. I've not really had to deal with them that often. Do you have any products or anything that are not?
I have to say I'm not a big chemical person, but I draw the line on the yellow jackets. So I go straight for the wasp and hornet spray, and I typically will go out at night and shine a flashlight on the hole and just fill that hole with that spray. It foams up, and so if they walk through it, they get it. And that's what I do. But if you're trying to do it non-chemically, I don't really have an answer for you. The water is not going to work, I don't think.
Yeah.
So, and soap isn't usually something that kills a lot of things, especially something as voracious as the hornets.
Yeah, for sure. I think that I agree. I'm you know, often not a person to push the chemicals, but there are times and place, and that might be one of them.
Exactly. Okay. Well, thanks so much for your advice. Okay.
Yeah. Good luck to you.
Have a great day.
We're going to take another call. We have Luella on the line. Luella, go ahead with your question.
Hello. I have two observations. One is the goldenrod that I planted, like an English backdrop, is just quivering with bees and flies. And there's another blue plant that is wild also that grows up real well. And that is good bee fodder, too. So I recommend that, although they both spread quite a bit. My question is about a dogwood tree that's about 20, 30 feet high that used to be absolutely glorious. And now it's just dying left and right, although I've watered it quite a bit this past summer. There are quite a few dead branches. We had it trimmed last year, but it seems to be getting worse this year. What do I do?
It sounds like you've had a professional out, maybe you trimmed it yourself, but I think always for me getting an arborist, a certified arborist out to put eyes on it. You know, it's hard for me sitting in the studio to look and see exactly what's going on. I do know that dogwoods have had a rough few years. You know, again, we've had these droughty conditions off and on for the last couple of years. We've had periods of really a lot of moisture, like this spring. We had a ton of moisture early. And we are seeing a lot of disease on our dogwoods, a couple of different kinds of fungus that are showing up. Dogwoods get an anthracnose. They also get powdery mildew, and there's a couple others. So there might be evidence of that along with, you know, that drought. So my recommendation is always, especially if it's a high value tree for you, if it's really important to try to save it, is to get somebody out there that is a certified arborist, that's an expert, that can really take a look at what's going on with that tree and determine, you know, is there a treatment that can be done? Should anything be done at all? Or is there more pruning? You know, if there's active disease or active insect infestation, they can come out and really take a look at it. There are a lot of things in gardening that I think are DIY. Trees for me is not one of them. I'm always, especially for you know, my high value trees or larger trees or older trees, I always want to get somebody out there to put eyes on it. So, and a certified arborist. You know, not all tree guys are the same. A lot of guys will just come and trim, but get somebody that really knows what they're doing out there to take a peek.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, good luck. All right, guys, time for us to take a break. If you want us to answer your question in the next segment, our phone number is 314-436-7900. This is the Garden Hotline on KMOX. Coming back into that segment, this is Michelle Reeser West. You're listening to the Garden Hotline here on KMOX. I am here with Jerry Pence, the program coordinator for the horticulture program up at St. Louis Community College. And we are here answering all of your garden-related questions. 314-436-7900 is the number to call to reach us. And we're going to go to Sam. We have Sam on the line. Go ahead with your question.
So I have a hydrangea bush in front of our house that I am unsure about how to trim or prepare for the fall. We did not trim it last year, and I just wanted to make sure we do it the right way this year.
What kind of hydrangea? Do you know what kind of hydrangea it is? Can you tell me a little bit about the flowers?
Yeah, it's a limelight hydrangea.
Oh, limelight. Okay. So it's still blooming?
It's pretty scorched by this point in the year, but it did bloom really nicely this year.
Yeah. So you can trim that, you know, once it's finished blooming, you can prune it back. What we have noticed with pruning that's hydrangea paniculata, what you have there. And what we've noticed with those is if we prune them back really hard, that the next couple of years, the new growth, it grows so much, it grows so fast that the new growth just kind of flops over, can't hold the flowers up because the flowers are so big with a lot of these cultivars. It just can't hold the flowers up. So I wouldn't cut back. Are you cutting back for size reasons or shaping or?
Definitely size reasons. We have two of them, and they kind of frame our front doorstep.
Okay, so it's kind of overgrowing the doorstep.
Yeah, a little bit, it did flop a little bit this year, just because, you know, we let it go last year.
Sure, yeah. So, you know, I wouldn't cut probably more than a third when you cut back, and you know, try to avoid if you can, like shearing it with a pair of power shears. Just take a pair of hand pruners and go in and cut each branch individually. That way you'll be able to still keep a nice shape, but you can cut it back. You know, you cut it just about a quarter inch or so above the next bud. And so that way you don't end up with any dead wood on there or anything. And, you know, this is an okay time. I would probably wait till it's dormant. That's a late flowering shrub, so you can prune that even in the spring. So it sounds like you need to kind of get it out of your way a little bit. But I would probably wait until it's dormant, and then just so it doesn't put on a bunch of new growth between now and then.
Yeah.
Okay. And what's the sign of dormancy? What are we looking for there?
When your leaves fall off.
Sure. Okay. And then as far as from like the top of the, from each shoot, how far down were you saying?
I'm just guessing, you know, I would say without seeing it, I would say probably about a third, you know, so don't, you know, again, like I said, if you go way back on that shrub, it's going to end up putting 3 feet of growth on next year, and then you're really going to have stuff hanging all over the place. So you don't want to take too much off. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Great question. Pruning is my favorite thing to do. I could hand prune all day. If I could get paid well to just go around and do hand pruning with my hand pruners and have somebody walk around behind me and clean up my mess, that would be my ideal.
Wow.
I just love it. But
perfect.
I don't want to clean up the mess.
It is very therapeutic.
Yeah, I love it. Hand pruning is the best. Up next, we have Peggy. Peggy, you're on the line. Go ahead with your question.
Thanks for taking my call. The lady that called in about her grass kind of rolling, we had that several years ago with some zoysia, and it turned out they were cinch bugs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, there's all kinds of, you know, our turf has so many little critters in it, under it. We've had a lot, like Jerry was saying earlier, we've had a lot of fungal issues. It's kind of hard for us. We're sitting in here without a photo to look at. It could be so many things. There's also moles and voles that it could be. So a lot of things. But cinch bugs is a great one. So
yeah, because, well, they treated it and it took care of our problem. So I just wanted to call and tell her that because when I heard that call, I thought, oh, we had that.
Yeah, that's a good call.
Thank you. All
righty. Okay.
Appreciate
it. Have a great day.
All right. We are at a good stopping point for a break, so we're going to do that now. Next segment coming right up, 314-436-7900 for your calls. We're here to answer your questions on the Garden Hotline, 1041 KMOX. We are back with the Garden Hotline. My name is Michelle Reeser-West. I am the Director of Horticulture for Pointer Landscape, and my guest today is Jerry Pence, the program coordinator for the horticulture program up at the community college on the Merrimack campus. And we are here today talking about plants, talking about the hort program, answering your questions. 314-436-7900 is the number to call. Call us with your questions. We have Stacy on the line next. Stacy, go ahead with your question.
I have a burning bush that has gotten top heavy and it's getting kind of woody with no leaves on the bottom. So I would like to trim it. And what's the best time and the best way to do that?
I didn't hear the first part of your question. What is it? What was the plant?
It's a burning bush.
A burning bush. Okay. So burning bush can, I mean, really, really burning bush can be trimmed kind of whenever. They're not super picky about when they're pruned. Going into winter, sometimes I'm, you know, a little hesitant to do a big haircut now. We want them to kind of focus on, we want any shrub or tree or perennial to be kind of focusing their energy this time of year into storing that energy down into their root system. So we are wanting for them to not have to work hard at repairing cuts. So if you wait a little bit, wait until it's dormant, it's probably a better time for you to do that pruning, and it'll be healthier for that shrub. So taking you know, a little bit of time now to wait for that to happen, and then maybe pruning it, especially if you need to do a significant pruning, waiting a little bit till that plant goes dormant.
Okay, so maybe like winter or going into February-ish?
Yeah, especially if you want to do a bigger cutback, I think waiting until it is dormant and maybe just before it comes out of dormancy. I like to do a lot of my pruning, you know, in February is a great time frame, even into March, kind of before it breaks dormancy. You can always do pretty much any time of year, these burning bush can take a shearing. You know, a lot of people will shear these back hard, but, you know, a little hand pruning or shaping can be done pretty much any time of the year. But, I recommend any kind of more aggressive pruning to be done when it's dormant.
Okay. Thank you. And I have one more question. I have a hibiscus tree that's gotten to be about 10 feet tall. It's out of hand. So how far back can I cut this?
Is it a hibiscus shrub that's in your yard, or is it a annual? Okay.
Yes, in my yard.
Is it a single stem or multi-stem?
It has become multi-stemmed.
Okay. What is your question? How far can you cut it back?
Correct.
Okay. Yeah. Again, I'm a proponent of doing things in stages if possible. So if you can take it down by about a third this year, and then if you want to cut it back some more next year, do the same thing. That's another late flowering one. So you can do that late winter, early spring, mid spring. That's going to be the best time for that one.
Okay. Okay. Very good. All right. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
All right.
Thanks for your call, Stacy. We are here for your calls. If you have any garden-related questions, 314-436-7900 is the number to call. Jerry, let's get back into talking about the Merrimack program. What do you think is the kind of the future of the program? Where are we going? What are the students wanting, or what's the plan?
So our student profile has been getting younger over the last few years, and really what the young generation is looking for is a position that they can make a difference. And they see that in a lot of different areas, mostly like more conservation, ecology sort of a focus, the cannabis and hemp generation as well. But they're really looking into jobs where they feel like they're making a difference. And so that's really the way we've sort of pivoted as a program, and we have introduced a lot more of the native plant content into a lot of our classes. So that's stormwater management is another area that is huge. I think that's a really growing part of our industry that is calling for people who have a lot of plant knowledge. It's just about anyone can build a stormwater management project, but managing that stormwater project is the key.
Yeah.
So, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I know that, you know, that's one of the things MSD, does a lot of projects and makes people, you know, as part of building processes, there are things that MSD makes people do. And that's one of the things that we, are often dealing with is that we walk away from these kinds of projects. And then how do we manage those, and how do we get people in there that can take care of those?
Yeah, exactly. And that's what we're training our students to do, to be able to manage those situations. And with the new changes with the STLCC transformed and our new landscape that's going in, they're going to be right in the middle of those kinds of projects.
How much did you guys get to have a say in that big project? You guys get to decide what's kind of going around your new part of the campus?
We had a little bit of conversation. We were able to talk to them a little bit about some of their plant selections and so forth. But for the most part, you know, we'll just adapt to what they've done and see what happens.
Well, we do have some callers back on the line, so let's go to the phone line. We have Rick calling. Rick, go ahead with your question.
Okay, I was wondering on dogwoods, when those can be trimmed. It's out of shape, and some deadwood. I know I can get that anytime, but just trying to shape up the dogwood. It's mature, probably about 25 years old and about 15 feet tall.
So for me, anytime I think about pruning, I think about bloom time. So, plants will bloom on new or old wood, and the dogwood tree blooms on old wood. So if you go out to your dogwood right now, on the ends of the branches, on the tips, they have little round buds, and those are the flower buds for next year, for next spring. So if we're out there now doing any kind of pruning on a dogwood, you're going to remove those buds, therefore affecting your display for next year. So can you go out and prune? For sure. You can go out and do a little bit of pruning now. I'm always, again, a little bit hesitant in the fall going into winter because I want my tree to focus on roots. But you could go out and do a little bit of pruning now, but just keep in mind that any pruning that you do now, until the tree does its spring show, you are going to be removing some of those buds. So if that's not a big focus, if the shape and the deadwooding and all of that stuff is more important to you right now, and you can live 1 year without as big of a show, you can prune now, or at least wait until it's dormant and do some pruning. And like you said, it is always a good time to do deadwooding on a dogwood. So any kind of damaged, diseased, or dead, as a 3Ds. Anytime there's that going on, it's fine to prune on a dogwood. But as far as any kind of major pruning, I would wait personally until after that flowering in the spring.
Okay, so as soon as it finishes flowering, that's the best time.
Correct. Yep.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you very much. Yeah, thanks so much for your call. Up next, we are going to go to Barbara. Barbara, go ahead with your question.
Yes. Is it considered inhumane to trap a raccoon in a squirrel nest, or, you know, a squirrel, you know, what, you know how you catch squirrels? And are they good eating, raccoons?
Whoa, that's out of my scope of...
I think people do eat them, though.
Do they? Yeah, I'm not sure.
I don't know. Squirrels, for sure, people
eat. I would talk to conservation department.
That's exactly what I was going to say. So we actually had a raccoon issue in one of our outbuildings at Pointer, and that's what we did. We called the Department of Conservation. We wanted to know what the most humane way of dealing with that. So if you check with the conservation website or, you know, going there and seeing what's up. But as far as eating them goes, I'm going to leave that up to you. But I bet there's some recipes out there for... raccoon
maybe
stew.
So, but now also this, Michelle, can you eat an animal that can carry rabies? Maybe that's not very good.
I have no idea. I mean, I wouldn't eat an animal that might have rabies, but that's just me. But
gotcha.
Again, I don't know about that kind of thing.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, good luck. I'm totally interested. Thank you so much for your call. Up next, we have Bob on the line. Bob, go ahead with your question.
Yes, good morning. When I walk through my yard later in the afternoon, I have these small white moths that fly up. I've done some research, and it looks like it could be like sod wedworm. I also have hackberry trees. They talked about some sort of hackberry moth. I've got walnut trees. I've got a bunch of walnuts on the ground. They seem to kind of congregate around them. So wondered what you had any suggestions on that.
Are they coming up out of the turf, or where are they coming from?
Yes, they come up out of the grass.
Okay. Then that sounds more turf-related. So that would be, again, something I would consult with somebody with about, you know, what's the proper way to handle that.
Yeah, and, you know, I think a lot of times there are so many different pests and disease. I think leaf hoppers are, you know, something that happens in the turf. But for me, you know, like I kind of always kind of go back to, are they harming anything? Is it causing damage to your turf or to the plants around it, or any significant amount? You know, a lot of these insects have life cycles. And they'll, you know, they might just be there for a short period of time and kind of move on. So, you know, without, I don't know what it is off the top of my head. It could be a lot of different bugs. And like you said, you have a lot of different trees and plants around that could be attracting those things. So, go ahead.
It's kind of hard to tell because, well, I've got all the shade, which isn't good for the grass. So I got dead grass from that, and then the drought. And then the walnut trees put out some sort of chemical that's bad for grass. So
yeah.
I've got a lot of dead areas. So it's not like I have a perfect lawn and I can see dead patches. I mean, I've got, you know, I've got some bad areas.
If it's not the sod webworm, there are a lot of beneficial moths that are there for, you know, to feed the birds and all sorts of things. So I wouldn't just arbitrarily go out and get something to start spraying. I would have somebody out who can identify what those moths are, and then go from there, because it may be something you don't need to worry about at all. It may just be part of the ecological cycle that's going on in your yard.
Are you talking about a lawn service, or I mean, you say have somebody out?
Yeah, you could have a lawn service or any kind of a plant healthcare person who can come out and identify those moths for you and let you know, is it a sod webworm or is it just something else that's, you know, using your trees for a host?
Okay.
Yep. Thanks so much for your call, Bob. We are going to take a quick break. We have one segment left, so we'll do a little speed round at the end of the show. If you have a question for us, 314-436-7900. You're listening to the Garden Hotline on 104.1 KMOX. And we are back with the final segment of the Garden Hotline. My name is Michelle Reeser-West, and I am your host today alongside my guest, Jerry Pence. Jerry is the program coordinator for the horticulture program at St. Louis Community College on the Merrimack campus. And we're going to jump into questions. We just have a few minutes left, so we're going to try to do a little bit of a speed round so we can get to everybody that's on the line. We're going to start off with Brad. Brad, go ahead with your question.
My daughter and her husband bought a house over in Collinsville, and she has a tree from hell. She thinks it's an empress or princess tree, and it's putting up little sprouts all over the place. And is there any way to control it? They're probably going to get the tree cut down, but as far as the little sprouts that are coming up.
That sounds like Paulownia, is what that sounds like. Yeah, you can treat that kind of like you would any other sort of invasive plant, where if you want to cut the stump and treat it with a glyphosate product or a Tordon or something like that, that's probably your best bet.
Yeah, I think she's got a recipe for triclosan and glyphosate combination, and you know, cut the little sprout off and then paint that on it. So I think she's I think maybe that's why the people might have sold the house.
It's definitely a battle.
It's kind of like, Kevin, what do you do when you got Bermuda grass invading your lawn from your neighbors?
You just move.
Yeah, that's the answer. Move.
I think you're on to something. Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a little bit of battle. I think even after that tree is removed, it can still be a problem. So, good luck with that. Make sure they do a good job of grinding out that stump as much as they can whenever they remove it. All right, we're going to go straight to Jan. Jan, go ahead with your question.
Hi, thanks. I live in a townhome community, and in front of every building or every unit, there's a burning bush, but they never get as red as around the other part neighborhoods. And I think I know why, but I want an expert opinion before I go and make a stink about it. I think it's because about a week and a half ago, they came out and they trimmed all the burning bushes and all the bushes. And they do it every year in the fall. And I think that's what's keeping them from getting red, but I'm not sure.
I mean, that's a good theory for sure. You know, there are a lot of reasons that a burning bush may not have as much of a show. I know the last couple of years, like the water situation, the drought going into the fall has affected a lot of our fall color. But, you know, definitely pruning can affect that if we're pruning close to that time. But
there's a strip mall close to us that has burning bushes and they get really red and ours don't.
Yeah, and that's why people plant them. I mean, they're the burning bush. It's for that bright red color going into the fall. So, it could just be about the timing. Do you know any other reasons?
Stress. Stressed out, if they're in a really stressful situation, if there's a lot of, if they're around buildings where they're getting really hot, you're going to increase the stress level of those plants. You're going to increase the heat of the soil. Which is then mites are going to move in and all sorts of things. So, yeah, there's a lot of factors.
Well, they
that can
look
play
healthy, but and the neighborhood curves around, so everybody gets different kinds of sun and everything, but nobody's bushes in this neighborhood ever get very round.
I'd say pruning is definitely key.
Yeah, for
okay.
Sure.
Well, I appreciate your help. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks so much for the call, and thanks so much for everybody that called in this hour. And thanks, Jerry, for coming in and spending some time with us today. Again, Jerry is from the horticulture program at St. Louis Community College. They're having an open house and a horticulture symposium coming up in October. If you guys want more information on that, you can go to the website stlcc.edu. /exchange. I'll also post that on my Facebook page if you want to look it up there, at STL Plant Nerd. Thanks so much. This is the Garden Hotline, KMOX 104.1.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get a motion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
Quality sleep isn't just about how long, but how well you sleep. And science proves temperature plays a massive role. ChiliPad by SleepMe is a precision temperature-controlled sleep system that cools or warms your bed so you can sleep hard and recover harder. And it's not just for pro athletes. Just set your temp from 55 to 115 degrees, and ChiliPad does the rest. Visit sleep.me and use code SLEEPCOOL20 for 20% off your first ChiliPad. That's SLEEP.ME for 20% off your ChiliPad. This special offer expires September 30th and cannot be combined with other offers.
Make every day a Disney Plus and Hulu day and get everything you love in one plan. Start your day with Monday Mayhem and watch episodes of Bob's Burgers. How about a Touchdown Tuesday with the hilarious new comedy Chad Powers? Or a Whodunit Wednesday with high potential and everyone's favorite amateur sleuths in the hit series Only Murders in the Building? Maybe you're in the mood for a thrilling Thursday. Grab some popcorn and stream huge blockbusters like Marvel Studios' Thunderbolts on Disney Plus, or get caught up with the most enthralling news on what you need to know. Gather the fam for a Flashback Friday and binge all episodes of Modern Family or Grey's Anatomy. So, discover something every day on Disney Plus and Hulu. It's the movies and shows you love, every day. 18 and up only, offer valid for eligible subscribers only, terms apply.